Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the king.
Massage a pig. That's pretty cool.
What's that?
Yeah, it's on the internet. A cat, he massages a pig. He cleans his ears, he kneads on him, sleeps on him, and the pig just lays there and enjoys. I wish I was a pig. You know? Good situation. So, Matt, did the Yankees win again?
Today I haven't lost in 2 weeks.
That's exactly right. That is, there is a one and a one, and then wins in a row.
Yeah.
I watched a little bit of each of the Braves games. Very impressed. Now Chapman's a problem.
Yes,
they're
going
to have to overcome. They're going to have to overcome that.
Yeah, he stinks.
Our team doctor, Dr. Wayne Sebastianelli, and Kev, you know him. Is a big Yankee fan. So we were talking about this at practice last night, and he said, you couldn't believe it. He's like, he's missing all over the place. I said, I know. I said, he gets into this bad habit where he panics and starts just throwing fastballs.
I mean, loses like 20 pounds when he's out there for like 10 minutes.
Water's
just falling out of him. But he may be one of those sticky guys, you know, that he was locked in on the stick'em and he can't pitch without it.
I think mentally he's a time bomb. And that's
he's
a big,
always
big problem.
Has been. Didn't he beat his wife? I mean, I don't like the guy.
I'll tell you the guy I think I really like, and I've liked him for a long time. He's not perfect, but Chad Green.
Yes, he should be in that role fully as the closer. Because Zach Britton stinks, plus he can't stay healthy. Chapman, you never know what you're going to get. Chad Green should be the closer. Totally agree.
Yep. You know who I like is that new closer for the Red Sox. Was it Cologne or whatever? Red Sox last night, Fenway Park is shaking. The cameras are shaking. They tied the game 4-4 in the ninth.
They bring this guy out
who was throwing 99 the night before.
Robles.
Now he won't throw a fastball. It was 4-4 when he came out there. Within 3 minutes, it was 9-4. He got hammered.
Well, the problem is Matt Barnes.
Every minute of it. So.
The problem is Matt Barnes, who had been just really lights out till the end of July.
All year until now.
Is 15.19 ERA in August. And
I would keep throwing Barnes out there. Because he's the real deal. I'm being serious. He's the real deal, and he's got to fix whatever's wrong.
Yeah, they got to figure it out because I mean you can't get to that point where suddenly you don't know what to do, and you may throw a starter maybe an inning longer than you should because you don't know what to do.
Well, I'll tell this year. Of any year, no pitchers are going beyond 5 or 6 innings.
That's because of stupid analytics. That's why
they don't want to. They don't want to go out there, and they don't want to have them face the lineup the third time. Here's one for you. You've given up 2 hits through 6 innings. It's the third time through the order. Guess what? If I'm managing the team, my first thought is they can't hit the dude. Run him back out.
Yeah,
exactly.
But that's not happening. They're pulling the guy. They're not letting them even try and get out of trouble. They're pulling
That's because the number of managers that manage with their gut. Now, it's fine to use analytics to help you make decisions with your gut. That's fine, right? But you got to be able to see what's going on and not just be robotic. And there are too many managers in baseball that are robotic because they're afraid to be criticized if they go against the analytics. And the analytics, by the way... And the analytics is their fallback. Well, you know, the analytics say, it's almost like, well, yeah, that's the default comeback when it goes wrong, that at least you have an excuse for it. Instead of getting up and saying, you know what, I've been watching the game. I thought as I watched him, I thought he was the right guy to put out there. What's wrong with that? Yeah. And they're afraid to do
that. I mean, look at Tom
Brady. Everybody's afraid to do it.
He's old. A lot of his physical tools are gone. the analytics can't measure what Tom Brady does. He's a leader. He finds a way to win. There's no measuring that, you know. You've got to let some of these pitchers, they're athletes. Let them be an athlete, you know. Don't just say, okay, you're done, you know. Yeah. Be an athlete. Tom Seaver, you know. Just go out and throw nine innings. See what you got.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the Minnesota Twins the other night against the Red Sox, the guy was unhittable.
Right, and they took him out.
Six, what are you saving him for? You're in last place, you know?
Right, exactly.
Let him keep it. They pull him out. They put their bullpen in, and the bullpen puked all over themselves, and the Red Sox stole a game. But,
yeah.
You know?
And you're seeing that all over the place. And, again, you're not going to get criticized if you say in the press conference, according to the analytics, instead of getting up there and saying, you know what, it didn't work because, you know what, I looked at him and I just thought that he still had it and I put him out there and I thought he gave us the best chance. Well, you can't do that. The analytics say, hey, take your numbers and stick them. I'm managing the team.
Hey, Cora's got a problem now. And Cora's got people, you know, because of the pandemic, they forgot a lot of things, but he got caught cheating in Houston.
He's a fraud.
They know he was cheating in the World Series. Now he can't cheat. All of a sudden, he's a 500 manager.
Exactly.
Yep.
He's a fraud.
I don't know. We'll see. The Red Sox could win the World Series. They got to get Martinez going.
He's in a funk. He's not hitting well. We've got games to predict for the first time.
I'm ready.
Go Huskies.
That's right. UConn's playing this weekend.
We already just said we know one pick.
They suck.
We already said that your prediction was it's going to be.
Exactly.
UConn could be playing at some directional school, and you'd pick the directional school. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Well, here we go. Back to picking games.
Here we go.
Last year, Matt had Little Luke just point to the name of the team he thought it would win, and it didn't go well. All right.
I'll have you know, I am the defending champ.
Yes, you are.
Little Luke, who's going to win?
Alabama.
Okay, good. All right, there we go. Pick the ones that are easy to pronounce. All right.
That's all right. All right, so let's start off with Kevin's beloved UConn Huskies at Fresno State. King.
Oh, my gosh. I live a mile from their practice field. Never seen a player. Never, of course, because of COVID. They haven't played a game in 2 years.
Both teams haven't.
Their offense can put some points up, but their defense was so bad. Now, according to them, everybody's faster and stronger, and they're going to shock the world. I don't think they're going to shock anybody, and Randy Edsall is a horrible football coach and a human being. And, I mean, you can't do what he did. And UConn's so stupid, they rehired a guy who walked out on them. So they deserve what they get. I got Fresno State by 30.
Kalen DeBoer back in charge, second season Fresno. They played 6 games last year. The UConn defense has been a disaster. They've been in the bottom 10 in points allowed per game in each of Randy Edsall's seasons, including 50.4 points per game in 2018. To their credit, they're not just bad, they're really bad. Fresno State.
I am also going with the guys with the red turf, because UConn has that to account for as well. Next
UConn
one
doesn't deserve to be a Division I team.
All right, next one now. UTEP at New Mexico State. Steve.
UTEP has been at the bottom of college football for a long time. Yet last year, in the COVID year, guess what? They went 3-5. This is after they won a total of 2 games in 18 and 19. They went 3-5. New Mexico State, nobody has any idea what they're going to do. None. The reason being is New Mexico State didn't play last year, right? And went 6-20 before that. So even though UTEP is a 10-point underdog, I'm going to pick the Miners of UTEP to win the game.
I agree. I am going with, this is my lone upset, quote-unquote, of the week. I love UTEP in this matchup. I just think that they are going to be ready to play the game, and I think I like what they have on offense, too, back.
The game is in Las Cruces, but that's not a long trip for UTEP.
No. So, I agree. I'm taking UTEP here. King.
A lot of sites are showing the opposite, but UTEP's a favorite. So, I'm taking UTEP. New Mexico State's in the same spot that UConn's in. They have not played in a long time.
Yeah.
So, it's hard to pick them if they haven't played in a long time. So, UTEP.
All right, now we go to a team that Steve has seen recently. San Diego State hosting Southern Utah. Steve?
My understanding is that Southern Utah didn't even practice the kneel down at the end of the game.
You're probably right about that.
I'm going with San Diego State.
I have SJSU as well. King.
No, it's San
Diego.
Is it San Diego
State?
Is it San Diego State or San Jose State?
It's San Jose.
Oh, San Jose State. I'm sorry. Yeah, San Jose State.
Okay, it doesn't matter if it's San Diego State or San Jose State.
Whoops.
I'll take the Spartans of San Jose State.
I'm sitting here trying to click back onto the site and say, "Wow, I got the wrong game."
No, that's my bad. Yeah, San Jose State.
It's San Jose State, and I'm going with the Spartans. Southern Utah didn't even practice the kneel down at the end of the game because it's just not going to be used.
Correct. Yes, I have San Jose State. Okay, yeah, King.
I have San Jose. I don't think it's going to be a competitive game.
Now that we cleared that one up.
Yep.
Hawaii at UCLA, or as my wife likes to call them, UCLA. King.
I studied it. Looked at it. UCLA's got too much talent. I got UCLA.
I agree, though. I think Hawaii could put up a little bit of a fight.
Yeah, they're always a wild card. They can always, their offense puts up points.
I could see them jumping out to a lead, but then UCLA kind of taking over in the second half. So I'll take UCLA, but it might be a closer game. Steve.
Game's in the Rose Bowl, which means UCLA's at home. So a long trip for Hawaii. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, fourth-year starting quarterback. Now, their running game is not great. They got Zach Charbonnet, who's the transfer from Michigan. Charbonnet is no better than a functional running back, but Thompson-Robinson makes a big difference. Hawaii has never been a good defensive team. Or never has been. Todd Graham, though, did a good job with them defensively. They were 54th last year in points allowed per game, which is the highest they've been defensively since they went to the Sugar Bowl years ago. UCLA is going to win. They'll win by at least two touchdowns.
All right. As we head into our final game, we are all even. Now we go to the premier game of the week, I guess. Nebraska and Illinois in the lone Big Ten matchup of the week. So, Steve, let's start with you on your feel for this.
Well, Adrian Martinez is the entire key to the game. The problem, you know, last year when Illinois beat Nebraska, and they won by 18. I mean, I'm watching the tape getting ready for Penn State, Illinois. I'm like, what the heck? Luke McCaffrey played a lousy game. I mean, lousy. He threw three interceptions, and they went back to Adrian Martinez again. Illinois, there's something about it. The game's at home. I know Brandon Peters, look, I would not, if you're telling me quarterback versus quarterback, Martinez is the better quarterback than Brandon Peters. There's no getting around it. But Brown at tailback, an offensive line led by Doug Kramer, a defense led by Jake Hansen, and it's Brett Bielema's first game as the head coach at Illinois. I think the Illini are going to win, even though they're the underdog in this game.
King?
Well, I want Illinois. I like how they played against Penn State. That was a great game last year, wasn't it? If I remember
first half.
Correctly.
First half, then Penn State blew them out. First half, then Penn State blew them out. So.
Yeah. I don't like Frost, but we can't all pick the same team. So I'm either going to be in last place or first place. I'll take Nebraska.
Well, I took the underdog. I took the underdog. So, I mean, Illinois is a 7-point underdog at home.
No, I realize that. But I'm saying I'm taking the opposite. It's because we've all picked the same teams. I want Illinois, but I think Illinois is going to win the game, but I'll take Nebraska. It's a toss-up game, so I'll go with Nebraska.
Actually, King, it's a good thing you did that because I'm going with the Fighting Illini.
All right.
Something stood out to me when Dave Revson joined us earlier in the week, Steve, how because their new head coach is kind of from the area and he gets what the program is about and wants to get to, and they had some momentum after some decent games last year. I think that means something. And I do agree with Dave that I think the Illini might be better than what we think. So I'm taking the Illini at home to get off to a fast start.
Wouldn't you say last year they were like one or two players away from being very, very good?
I mean, they got better and better, but my issue with them is the quarterback play. I mean, Brandon Peters, the transfer from Michigan, you know, it's hard to gauge him from last year because he got COVID, was out 3 weeks, and the whole thing. Brett Bielema wants to run the ball. That's his MO. He wants to run the ball. Well, he's got Chase Brown. He can run the ball. My problem for them long-term is I don't know if Peters is good enough throwing the football. I mean, if I was picking strictly on which team has the better quarterback, I pick Nebraska. But I think Illinois has the better team, especially with 18 of those guys who could have left, decided to stay, including Jake Hansen and Doug Kramer. I think that makes a big difference for me.
Exactly right. But it should be an interesting one to start things off with the Big Ten.
I can't wait for the season to start.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we need a mood change. Yeah, we need something exciting. So, go Penn State. Got to have a big year this year, boys. So, big year for them. Got to win the Big Ten.
Big year for everybody. Just getting back. It'll be great to see people.
Yeah,
I mean, I've been on a lot of shows this week, and every time I get asked what's going to be like to have fans. I was on the Ohio State Network, the West Virginia Network. I mean, I'm going on. I'm saying, look, I'm going to hug each one as they come in. How about that?
There you go.
Okay, we'll see you tomorrow.
I will see you tomorrow. Yep.
All right. Have a good weekend, Matt.
See you, King.